DFA. Mike Check. Michael Check. Who is Michael Check?
I think we should start talking about DFA and explain to the listeners what DFA is.
Aren't we technical. Aren't we revealing
industry secrets?
Industry secrets, yeah. Just make sure I'm sort of in the right.
I'm going to explain DFA to the listeners.
I think the podcast starts with it, me rearranging myself. And the reason is, it's because Matt sits down and gets comfy.
Okay, now I'm arranging myself. No, hang on.
And I hit record on the screeny thing. And the music, the audio-y thing. Tell us about the DFA.
DFA stands for Does Fuck All. And what it is, it was designed... I first heard about a DFA knob button in a studio that I was working in. Mm. And a producer was telling me, oh yeah, if you got, you know, an R in and
yeah,
you want to... They're saying, oh, the A&R's like, it's just not sounding right. It just needs to be bigger.
That's the quintessential A&R line, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Like, you know, and it just needs to be like, oh, massive. You know, like, is there any way you could just make it bigger?
And then the producer goes, oh, yeah, I've got this. And then you can spin any kind of yarn you like. But it's usually, oh, you know, we've just got this new multi-band spectral analyzer compressor. It's just come out. Mm. And you basically press whatever button on the desk or whatever that's around with a big light on it.
Yeah.
Press the button and it does fuck all, but then you say, ah, do you hear that? And then the A&R goes, yeah, that sounds great.
And this is why in this age of digital technology, it's still very important to have a few buttons and knobs around in the studio, just so you got something to twiddle. You can also do it to yourself.
Explain that, Dan. Explain DFAing yourself.
Well, so it's usually the result of adjusting parameters on a plugin when it's in bypass.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I find the one I like, I kind of prefer more, if you like.
Yeah.
Or that my sort of subconscious prefers is changing it on the wrong track. You know, so the plugin's still enabled, but I'm just changing it.
Yeah.
On like the shaker track that isn't even playing. Yeah.
I've done that. I'm gonna like reveal. I've done that three or four times this week. Last week it's Monday now, isn't it? Yeah.
By the way, everyone, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Can I just say a more advanced DFA? Once you get more comfortable with the DFA, a more advanced DFA is to get a plugin. Any plugin that just raises the volume of the overall track by say 0.3 dB,
and that's basically any Waves plugin.
Any Waves plugin. I think there goes the Wave sponsorship.
Yeah. Damn it.
You
don't need it on the subscription model, really.
So you basically take any plug, so say like an EQ that just raises the overall volume by 0.3 dB, and then you say...
That's basically what any Waves plugin does, is you put it on a track channel.
And it makes it...
And its default setting is it just increases the volume very slightly.
Yeah, which is better.
Well, we can unpack that a little bit.
Let's unpack that.
Because it's an interesting, not necessarily Waves plugins, but we won't unpack them. There's too many to unpack in...
A lot of Waves plugins.
However many, 24 minutes. Did you start the timer, by the way?
Oh, shit.
You've got to start the timer. Ah! Let's say got like 24 minutes.
24 minutes.
So we've got like, we're not in a gigantic rush at the end as the music starts to fade.
Yes.
Okay. Starts to take over.
Go on.
Yeah, so what I was saying is, for those of us who produce records, make records, know about this phenomenon of if it's louder, it's better. I mean, it's not, but an increase in volume will generally feel like something sounds better. If you've got the same track playing at one volume and then you flick it over to another track, which can be the exact same audio, but just slightly louder, the listener, and that can include you and me, who've known about this phenomenon for 15 years or however long we've been doing this, it tricks your brain into going like, oh, that's better. And in the short term, it is better.
To play devil's advocate here, Dan, I would say, well, louder is better.
Yeah, it is.
If you have one mix that's louder than another mix, it's going to be better.
Mm.
I remember a situation a year ago when I was mixing something And the rough was really loud, you know, dynamically pretty squashed. And I would say not in the most pleasing way, but it was loud.
Yeah.
Very difficult to beat.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Do you know?
It's very difficult to beat outside.
And it was loud and bright as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's just like, oh, I've got to match that.
It's difficult to beat until it goes into like a streaming service or something.
Because, yeah.
Which applies a degree. I mean, there's ways to game the system as there is with anything. But the overall loudness, of course, when you're sending audio files back and forth to an artist, there's no loudness normalization. So the rough mix, which is smashed to pieces, is going to appear louder. Whereas actually when it's out in the wild and loudness normalization is applied, I'll explain that in a second.
We've lost any casual listeners at this point.
No. We're going to try and explain some things today.
Okay.
So loudness normalization, for those who don't know, and to be honest, I don't think a lot of people outside of our world know this.
Yes.
Streaming services certainly include Spotify, certainly includes Tidal, certainly includes YouTube, probably Apple Music and such like as well. They will apply something called loudness normalization.
What's that, Dan?
What's loudness normalization? It's an attempt to... it's not using AI, although we could probably, because everything's AI now, it's not using AI. It's using just basic analysis. It attempts to level the difference between different tracks so that as you play through a playlist, it might be a playlist of your own creation or an algorithmic one, the tracks will appear to be of a more equal volume. Something I saw that was interesting, I saw a TikTok a few months ago talking about why doesn't Spotify sound good? And this will loop back to what we're talking about.
Who was saying that?
It's the random person. Person on TikTok.
Right.
And if you go into your settings and disable loudness normalization, it makes Spotify sound better.
Does it?
Yeah.
I want to try that.
Yeah. The reason it makes it sound better is because it disables that leveling system. Now, the loudness normalization will bring the level down to match things. So if you disable it, the loud tracks will then get loud, will appear to be louder.
I would say...
Which you would then perceive as being...
Here's a question.
Better.
Is loudness normalization... Is it worth it, do you think? Because surely everything on the streaming services is mastered to zero, you know?
Well, it's not normalized. So normalization, we are going to lose the casual listener.
Yeah.
But anyway, peak normalization is taking the very loudest tiny little spike. And if you're watching the video, I'm kind of making a little thing with my fingers that shows how tiny it is. You know, imagine the world's smallest violin.
Yeah.
But way smaller than that.
Yes.
That will level off the peaks. Whereas loudness normalization takes the average loudness using a scale called LUFS, which I can't remember what it stands for.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the big benefit is, and I think probably all streaming services, there's a button to, if you're listening to an album, you can have it set.
Yeah.
You can have it fixed for the album. But in today's world where we're listening to lots of playlists and different artists shuffling in from here and there, you kind of need it.
Yeah.
In order to, so that you don't have to keep reaching for the volume control.
Totally.
The interesting sort of side effect of it is that, you know, the peak loudness wars albums, you're sort of like Fall Out Boys, your Metallica, Death Magnetic, all those kind of, it's 2000s CD, the peak of CDs.
Yeah.
And as well, we're doing more and more explaining today.
They don't sound good.
They sound quiet.
They sound quiet.
So,
see, Rick Rubin, I got to say, do you know what came on? You know when you hear a song on the radio? It was on the radio. that I haven't heard for ages. It was the Jay-Z problem. I got 99 problems.
Yeah,
right?
It's called 99 problems.
99 problems.
Oh, by the way,
it sounded amazing on the radio.
Yeah.
So I dropped my daughter off for swimming.
Mm-hmm.
She swims. And that's my one of my half an hour parent times where I listen to music.
In the car, is this?
No, I was just I was watching her swim and I've got my AirPods on and I'm listening to I've got to listen to that track.
When you say
it sounded amazing.
When you say the radio.
Radio One. We were in the car listening to Radio
One.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I was just digital.
No, it was on FM. FM radio in my car.
Old school.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, the only reason we do that is because, well, actually my daughter really likes Radio One. And so do I.
Yeah.
So we listened to that. But that was, 99 Problems is what, 1999, 2000, that came out? That was when Rick Rubin was making the loudest records ever.
Mm. But there's a lot.
It sounded good.
There's space in those hip-hop records. And kind of hip-hop in general, you know, there is space. You've got beat, you've got vocal.
Yeah.
And then some stuff, you know, some essentially textural, although obviously it's melodic, you get melody and hook and everything. But the dynamics of it, you know, the beat is so much louder in hip hop.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of stuff does sound like it stands the test of time.
Are you saying more than like quote unquote rock music, music with guitars?
Yeah. Because the I think that Fall Out Boy.
Don't know Fall Out Boy.
I don't know if it is Fall Out Boy, but that song that goes, okay, you imagine your general emo band, My Chemical Romance.
I don't care.
Exactly. By the way, I did promise somebody that we would, every time we name a track, it's now going to be in the show notes.
Show notes.
Because last week, when we were talking about Elbow, when we were singing Elbow together so beautifully.
Yes.
We actually have overseas listeners.
Do we?
We do.
We have listeners.
Yeah, we have listeners. Who would have thought it?
Yeah.
Someone said they hadn't heard of Elbow.
Oh, come on.
Exactly.
But where are you listening from?
Norway.
Norway?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
They don't have Elbow in Norway.
They don't have Elbow? Okay.
You know, but some music doesn't travel. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, your emo music sounds pretty bad on...
Well, I would say emo music just doesn't sound very good.
Well...
I don't like emo.
You don't like it, but it's not a comment on the musical content. I've got a little bit of a soft spot for it.
On the loudness thing, I'm a huge Metallica fan.
Mm.
Death Magnetic was a real return. I was going to say return to form, but a return to something that sounded more like the Metallica that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find that record quite hard listening.
Fatiguing, isn't it?
Yeah, and some of the songs are like that song Broken, Beaten, Scarred it's got one of like great riff. It's, but I've never listened to that album all the way through, and I wonder, is it because of the material, or is it because of the listening is it because of the loudness and the listening experience?
I think it's probably the listening experience, because it's not like you're not a Metallica fan. You taught me everything I know about Metallica. This guy, yeah? Right the way from Blackened to Death Magnetic.
Yeah.
Which is about a quarter of their output.
Yeah. I still love Metallica. I think Metallica are one of those bands that the love of Metallica has never left me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly the earlier record, everything up to the Black Album.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny though, like, there's certain music I really loved when I was a kid that I listen to now and go, this is pap, for example. I will name and shame.
Mm.
The Michael Jackson album, Dangerous.
Yeah.
I was, I think, 11 when that came out, 12. Just, it's really not good. It's really not good. Whereas like Bad and Thriller and Off the Wall are magical. Mm-hmm. That one is, but that I'd file that next to, if you'd asked my 11-year-old me, you know, is Dangerous a bit like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's equally as good. And then you know, you listen back and you go, apart from a song called Who Is It? From, if anyone's listening, Who Is It from Dangerous is...
Sick, give us a lick.
It's got...
Your beatboxing's great. This is why we have SM58s, because it's the classic beatboxer's mic.
That's one of those songs that that Michael probably beatboxed the ideas out, because at the end, everything fades down.
Right.
And it's just him going...
I think I know...
Quincy, can it sound like this? Actually, it wasn't Quincy, that one. But it was Teddy Riley produced that one.
By the way, have you seen the clip of Michael Jackson's real voice?
What do you mean?
You know, he's always like, oh, no, I was just... Yeah, me and Macaulay, we were always just friends, you know?
Yeah.
There's like a clip, and I think it's probably in the Dangerous era. I think he's kind of got the, you know, the get up. And he goes on stage and he leans into the mic and he sort of forgets to...
Just be Michael Jackson.
Well, exactly. He just talks like a normal guy. It's a bit like that. It's sort of like, hey, everyone. Oh. And he sort of clears his throat.
Really?
Like, hey, everybody. Yeah.
It was part of his brand.
Yeah.
To speak, really.
Yeah. If you, I found it on TikTok anyway. If you just do a TikTok search.
Oh, I would look for that.
Yeah. It's worth downloading TikTok. It's not really, but not in its own, not in itself.
I've got TikTok on my phone.
You don't have time for that shit.
I'm scared of it because people say, oh, God, I just scrolled on TikTok for 40 minutes. And I just thought, God, I don't want to do that.
Well, it depends. I mean, we have actually genuinely had discussed this in a podcast episode earlier in the year. It really depends on... I can have a good scroll on there and learn so much stuff about history
right.
and politics. It's interesting that...
You know me, Dan. I just be watching cat videos.
Well, some of the best cat videos. Some of the best cat videos.
Listen,
in the business.
Enough of this.
Yeah.
Plugin of the week.
Plugin of the week.
I've got some plugins. You've got a plugin. You told me. So let's hear your plugin.
Well, I've forgotten what the damn thing's called now, of course. This is I've chosen this one just basically to wind you up.
Oh, go on.
It's a free plugin. It might have just been free for Black Friday. But if you've got a snare, I've just seen the low battery alarm on
we'll
capture that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, on my laptop.
Yeah, it's a plugin that will add under snare to...
Oh, fucking hell! Can I just explain this?
Let me describe the plugin first. Yeah. So what it basically does... If you've got a drum recording that's maybe not so good, and particularly like has only got a snare top mic or something,
as the Lord intended,
doesn't have much of the sizzle of the snare, it will allow you to trigger in some undersnare sound while I plug the laptop in.
Right.
Say what you were going to say.
So for those listening that maybe aren't familiar with the miking of a drum kit, usually you put two mics on a snare drum, one on the top and one on the bottom. And the idea is that the one on the bottom, where the snare wire is, the snares on the bottom have a snare wire against the head. It adds brightness to the sound. However, to me, the sound of an undersnare is just absolutely horrible. And if I hear it, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It's just I will agree. It does add brightness to a snare drum. For sure, but it's just all the wrong kind of brightness.
Well, it's not that it adds brightness. I think the key thing...
It adds sizzle. Sizzle.
Well, it adds the sound of a snare. The key thing to remember about this mic, and this is, you know, this is the thing about recording. Sometimes the mic that you use, the mic placement, the sound of it on its own sounds horrendous. And, you know, there's no better example of that than an undersnare mic in solo on its own.
Horrible.
But you generally, I find, you need an amount of it. Sometimes it's just a teeny tiny bit.
Because I'm sure that there's recordings that I've done where I've played drums and not engineered, where there's understanding, like, and I've got, oh, the drums sound amazing. I guess my point is...
Yeah, I'm just looking up the name of the plugin.
If I can hear the sound of a microphone on an understair is a very specific kind of sound, and if I can hear it in the mix, I'm just like, oh, that's horrible. I mean, I'd also say, you know, sometimes you add two mics to a kick drum, one for the click and one for the body.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of don't want to hear the click.
But yeah,
in the mix,
distinctly.
Do you know distinctly? Unless you're doing metal or something, and then it's kind of part of the genre. But the kind of click on its own is just like grim. But anyway, I mean, I find I haven't put, if I'm producing or recording something, I haven't put an under snare mic on a snare for years. And I have never thought, oh, this doesn't sound like a snare drum.
As well, as with many things about drum recording, or yeah, but my rule of thumb would say like the hi-hat mic or something is that it's not needed in the mix 80% of the time.
Yeah.
But if I don't put one on the kit,
yeah,
that'll be the time that I find I need it. And you never know. I mean, if you're recording like a disco track, which is, you know,
hi-hatty,
but also doesn't sound right with a splashy, roomy snare either, then it's like, yeah, you'll put hi-hat's mic up.
I found the hi-hat mic, I'll put a hi-hat mic on if I'm recording drums in a bigger room.
Okay.
If I'm recording drums in quite a large room.
Yeah.
Sometimes you lose a bit of definition on the... However...
Can't find the name of this plugin.
However, if it's in a booth or something, a kind of boofy environment, I'd be pretty confident. Okay, your boothy environment and the drummer's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I am not going to put a snare... snare on my
hi-hat
mic on, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over that
decision. I mean, if the drummer's good, it sort of... Often it's just like you might as well just throw your phone in the corner of the room and record it, because it's
not going to sound really good.
Me and Dan say, so there's certain instruments that you can be okay at and get a recordable result. For example, I'm the living embodiment of the fact you don't have to be a great bass player.
No.
and you can, I play bass on quite a few records, electric bass, and it's okay. The yin to that yang is the upright bass.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for it to be remotely usable in a recording, the player has to be very, 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 very good indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Violin.
Yeah.
And drums.
Any stringed instruments. Yeah, and drums.
Unless the drummer is very, very, very good, you're not going to get a very, very good sound.
Yeah. Book Matt for drums. He's very, very, very good.
So
tell me about your plugin of the week.
Yes, two. First, big shout out to Valhalla, who've put a low cut on Valhalla Room.
Yay!
Which is, I always had to low cut that plugin.
Yeah.
I love that plugin.
Do you know what? I think I'm still going to low cut it anyway.
Oh, come on.
And I found,
is that just your sound?
Well, no, I found this with the I think it's just habit.
Right, sure.
I found it when they added the low cuts to the Sound Toys Superplate. When the Superplate came out, that's got a built-in EQ.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's got a whole three-band EQ. I'm just used to what my EQ7 in Pro Tools is just
really?
Like. That's, you know... That's my tool.
I would say, Sound Toys, if you're listening, can you put a low cut on the Devil Lock as well? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I often use Devil Lock in just on the bus.
Mm-hmm. As a parallel. Yeah.
But often the low end, if I got a really low endy kick, I'd love to just EQ off some.
Goes a little bit below funny.
Like 200 sometimes.
Yeah.
I just want that middle, which is why Decapitator is so good, because you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get the middle attack, the mid-range attack on the distortion.
I hear you.
But my actual plugin of the week is there's a company called Safari Pedals.
Okay.
And they've...
Pedals? That sounds like guitar stuff.
It's Safari Pedals, but it's kind of like they do EQs, not EQs. Yeah, I think they do an EQ, but they do like verbs and compressors and distortions. And the interface of their plugins sort of looks like... It looks like a guitar pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they actually physically do pedals. Anyway, you know the Black Friday deals kind of come up. And usually this year I spent $4 on Black Friday.
$4.
That's it.
Woo!
On this plugin by Safari Pedals. Cool. It's a spring reverb plugin.
It's probably still hanging around, that deal.
It's really good. And it's you know those sort of 70s and 80s hi-fi springs that were designed for hi-fi.
Like a wood panel on them.
Yeah.
Because we used to have one, didn't we?
We used to have one, and it just a pain in the ass.
What?
Isn't that amazing? In the 70s, they thought, oh, you add a bit more ambience to your recordings. Well, it's, on a hi-fi.
I mean, we were talking about super dry 70s recordings last week, weren't you? Maybe it's like if you're listening to Queen Sheer Heart Attack.
You're just like,
it's just too dry. Freddie's vocal's too dry.
Yeah. Exactly. So
I might try that, actually. I might try listening to an early Queen record with just a hint of reverb on.
Valhalla Supermassive on it.
Yes.
Right, how long do we have left? Okay, 2 minutes. So, man, we've been inundated with an email.
We won't do the letters, but we'll acknowledge the letters.
We had an email.
We need more than 2 minutes to talk about it.
What's our email address, Dan, if anyone wants to email in the show?
I didn't mention it last week. Which is why I said let's set the timer for 28 minutes this time. podcast@urchinstudios.co.uk. That's podcast@urchinstudios.co.uk. We had our first email in. I think we're going to save it. I think we're going to bank it. Because it's definitely something that will...
The email said, could we talk about music in films and do we have any favourite music supervisors?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
No. I definitely need to have a bit of a think and a dig around. I probably do have a favorite music supervisor, but it's just one of those things I've never thought about. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go and have a look at some of my favorite films, which have placed music in.
Yes.
And see. Well, for films and TV shows, of course. I think it applies more to TV shows, I would say.
I'm going to save anything I think about this for next week.
Yeah.
Because I do... There's stuff that we can talk about for sure. Mm-hmm. Dan, what are you doing this week?
What am I doing this week? My pre-production session I did last week.
Oh, how did that go?
It was great.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. Funnily enough, it happened exactly as I described. We sat and talked about her music for a bit. We listened to some reference tracks. We made a game plan.
Brilliant. You know, what a pro.
And we recorded nothing, which is fine.
Yeah, sure.
I actually need to talk to you about it because you're going to play drums on it.
Am I? You don't know
this yet.
Yes.
What are you doing this week, Matthew?
I'm finishing off the mixes. Then I've got a pre-production session.
He's got a pre-production session
with a band on Thursday.
By the way, I'm not sure I actually finished saying what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
We are starting to make the EP this week. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, you're starting this week.
Okay, wicked. So we're doing arrangements and shit. Recording.
Okay. I can ruin it with some drums.
Exactly. Yeah, we're gonna lay
with
the ground
with a high under snare mic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all recorded from underneath.
That's the only mic.
Yeah. Carry on.
So I'm finishing this mix today and tomorrow. Then I've got pre-production session. Then shout out to Lighthouse or Lightship Studios?
Lightship.
I shouldn't be shouting out other studios on this podcast. Anyway, I've just done it.
We're all friends here.
Giles, I'm doing a drum session.
It's Lightship and a number, isn't
on
it?
On Friday. It's actually on a boat in Docklands.
Yeah.
Really, really great studio. It reminds me, I've got to call Giles. Giles, should I bring my own kit? You've got a nice Rogers there that I might use.
It's called Lightship 95. There goes the klaxon.
Ah!
It's called Lightship 95.
Cue music!
Recording studios.
Cue drums!
Studios. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is our fourth week.
We're still here!
Amazing! Okay, see you all next week. Well, we won't see them, but they can watch us
on
YouTube, post some clips on Instagram. Have a lovely week, everyone.